Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, he is Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers podcast, Locked On the NFL Draft podcast as well. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so first things first, kind of want to get a feel here on where Niners fans are as we get ready for this game tomorrow night in Lambeau Field. Where do you feel like the confidence level is at right now for this game?
I think fairly confident. Most of the people I've talked with, or even, you know, just me looking at this game and viewing it through the eyes of how we feel it'll play out. And I think the 49ers match up well against Green Bay, probably as well as you can for a team going up against someone like Aaron Rodgers, you know, with Devontae Adams. But the confidence level is there. If there's any doubt, I think that probably comes more from just knowing Jimmy Garoppolo's out there and he can do some weird things at any moment.
What kind of health situation do we have here from Garoppolo? Because, I mean, there's all kinds of reports out there. Trey Lance may end up getting into the game because his shoulder is so bad. What's the health update on Garoppolo?
Kyle Shanahan feels like he's good enough to go. You know, I think at this point in the year, a lot of guys have lingering injuries and different things that they have to work through and play through. I know for a while, Aaron Rodgers had something going on with his toe and yep. All that, COVID toe or whatever it was. So, you know, guys are playing through different things. You know, is he 100%? No, but I do believe that he's 100% functional. And the last check that I've seen, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't on the injury report, so I think that's good news. And, you know, they'll probably do whatever they can to make sure that he's as comfortable as possible heading into the game.
Talking with Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers podcast, Locked On NFL Draft, played a little on the Arena Football League, NFL with a Jets cup of coffee there. Eric, what about Deebo Samuel and how they've kind of unlocked him in his potential, not only as far as catching the ball as a wide receiver, but now putting him in the backfield as well?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Deebo Samuel, they've always used him as kind of this versatile threat where they would work to get the ball in his hands. I believe he had over like 100 yards rushing his rookie year, a lot of times on those kind of like orbit motions and things like that. Well, midway through the year, the 49ers were kind of struggling to keep their running backs healthy. Elijah Mitchell hadn't played, which I believe Elijah Mitchell was out in the first meeting against Green Bay. And, you know, he missed several games this year. And they got the bright idea is to put Deebo in the backfield and use him as a pure running back. And that's been something that they've consistently done throughout this season. And really to the point where some games he gets, or a lot of games, he'll get more rushing attempts than he will actual targets. Now, he still lines up at receiver, whether it's outside or slot, more than anything else. But they have figured out a way to get him the ball in the backfield. And he might be the 49ers' most dynamic running back, which is definitely interesting, he's built like a running back. He's 5'11", 220 pounds. But I think when you see his vision and his explosiveness, he has 8 rushing touchdowns and he's averaging over 16 yards per carry on those touchdowns. Just an explosive player, and it definitely added a different dimension to their offense.
Eric, when we talk about the Niners defense, you go back to that Super Bowl run that they had. That was a dominant defense, obviously. Since then, they've kind of reloaded that defense a little bit. Just how good is this Niners defense versus the ones we've seen the last couple of years? And what is the strength of this Niners defense right now?
So I won't say it's 2019. That defense, that was like an all-time great
Correct.
Defense for the 49ers. And then, you know, you lose guys like Sherman, who is a leader. You lose guys like DeForest Buckner, who they traded away to the Colts. They're not that. I would say they've definitely progressively gotten better throughout this season. They really keep the team in some of these games that could potentially maybe get out of hand with Jimmy Garoppolo turning the ball over. But the defense plays well. You know, I think a lot of people would say, well, on the outside, they're not as good. But Ambry Thomas, Emmanuel Mosley, they've done a good job kind of, you know, limiting things. And I think wherever they lack, D'Amico Ryans, as a defense coordinator, has done a really good job of kind of hiding their deficiencies as well as he can. You can only do it so much. And, you know, everyone knows a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he'll take advantage of every little inch that you give him. So, you know, this is going to be their toughest task to date. But I would say more times than not, they've done a really good job of kind of limiting big explosive plays. And that showed, it reflects on the numbers. I believe they're 16 in the NFL against the pass, number three overall defense in the league. So they play well. But again, you know, going up against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and that chemistry they have, that's a different monster against the pass.
Well, what about the running game for the Green Bay Packers? I mean, a nice two-headed monster for the Packers now, where you got the guy that can take it to the house in Aaron Jones and a guy that can be a bulldozer and finish teams off in the second half in A.J. Dillon. Probably the best running back duo the Packers have had in quite some time, plus an offensive line that is 8-9 deep right now for this Packers team if Bakhtiari is able to come back and play at left tackle this week. How do they view that part of the Packers offense?
Yeah, you know, the 49ers run defense has probably been their biggest strength, maybe of the entire team. You know, I believe it's through since week 8, like pretty much the second half of the season, they've been the number one defense against the run. They've been the number one defense, like, you know, as far as yards per carry. The DVOA numbers back that. They've been really good there. And I think a big change was midway through the year, they put Eric Armstead in the middle. And they had, you know, second-year player Javon Kinlaw go out. And he just wasn't going to come back because of the injury he's dealing with his knee. And since then, Armstead has done well. And guys like Arden Key, who, you know, Arden Key was someone in his first 3 years of his career playing for the Raiders, he had 3 sacks. Well, in the second half of this season, he had like 6 or 7 sacks. And that's not even including the playoffs. So a lot of guys have really stepped up. They've figured out different ways to kind of move guys around. D'Amico Ryans has done a good job of figuring out where guys play best. And I think even still, I mean, they're still kind of a filling out process with that. But at least against the run, that's why the 49ers like biggest strength. Everybody thinks it's the rush offense. I think it's actually the rush defense and somewhat making a lot of teams a little bit more one-dimensional.
Can we talk about Kyle Shanahan, Eric Crocker? I'd like to get your thoughts because up until this year in that nice little run there at the end, the man had one winning season. Now, grant you, it was a Super Bowl run, which obviously gets you some leeway going forward. And some Niner fan had tweeted at me earlier in the week about Shanahan. I said, man's had one winning season coming into this year. Like, just let's relax. And she responded back, and she was a big Niners fan. And she's like, yeah, well, he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. So let's see Matt LaFleur do without Aaron Rodgers, what Kyle Shanahan's been able to do with San Francisco. I thought it was a fair point. How do you view Shanahan as a coach?
Man, I mean, you're right. I think the thought of him, especially, we'll say midway through the year, right? Because at one point, the 49ers were 2-4. And they lost 4 straight games starting with that Green Bay game. And he was really getting criticized. I mean, at that point, it was looking like 49ers were going to have another losing season. That would have been one winning season in 5 years. Definitely not ideal. And since then, he's been able to turn it around. And I give him a lot of credit for keeping everything together and sticking to what he felt would be the best thing for the 49ers, which would be, you know, continue to play Jimmy Garoppolo, stick with certain guys. They made whatever adjustments they felt like they needed to make. And they've turned it around. I do think it's very clear that if he did have an Aaron Rodgers, you know, the team would probably be a lot better. But probably 31 teams, you know, outside of Green Bay in the NFL would say the same thing, right? Like, man, I would be much better if I had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. So that's ideal. Unfortunately, he doesn't have that. He has Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think he does a really good job of kind of understanding what Jimmy Garoppolo's strengths are, what his weaknesses are. You know, he doesn't ask Jimmy to do a whole lot. He barely limits him to throwing the ball. I think he knows, like, man, you know, it's almost like a relief pitcher where a relief pitcher, he comes in and you know he has that fastball, but you want to keep it under a certain amount of pitches because if not, there's some, you know, weird stuff that might happen. They might start giving up home runs. But that's Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Kyle does a good job of you know, attacking a certain level of the field that Jimmy Garoppolo feels comfortable throwing to, he doesn't really ask him to push the ball downfield a whole lot because that's not really a big strength of Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, the more he throws it, the more he's prone to do some weird stuff. Like, I mean, we saw it in the Green Bay versus 49 game early in this year. He turned the ball over twice. And, I mean, you know, for everything I've said about 49ers getting better as the year goes on, if Jimmy turns the ball over twice, which, I mean, he does, and he does do that, but if he doesn't, that might be a different outcome. You know, he turned the ball over two times, giving the Packers scoring position both times, and even then, it took a last-second field goal for Packers to win. So, you know, Kyle understands Jimmy Garoppolo and his limitations, and he plays to his strengths. And I think that's, you know, that's what makes him a good coach, in my opinion, more so than anything, being able to really get guys behind him no matter the circumstance.
Does he forget that he has George Kittle on his team? I'm looking. He's got 9 catches for 78 yards in the last 4 games. In 4 playoff games, he's been targeted 16 times, has 9 catches for 89 yards. That's 4 targets a playoff game on average. I mean, to me, that's, aren't you just missing a golden opportunity? I mean, I get that he's a good run blocker. I understand. But he's still George Kittle.
I don't get it. You know, Troy Aikman came out in the media the other day and talked about the Cowboys not getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb, right? And it's like, man, like at what point, if you see some soft coverage on the outside, just raise up and get your guy the ball. I mean, we see that all the time with Green Bay and Devontae Adams. Yep. If you're 8 yards off Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers, he'll raise up and he'll throw the ball to him right now. Give him space. Give him the ball in space. Go pick up 5, 6, 7 yards, right? You see that consistently. With George Kittle, he can go on these, like, these games where he has, you know, 10 catches for 160 yards. I mean, he has, like, this explosive 2 or 3 game stint throughout the year. And then the next game is like, you know what, we'll throw you the ball one time. Or we'll throw you the ball twice. Against Dallas Cowboys, he saw one target for 18 yards. And I don't think it's a sense of teams just taking him away. I think it's Kyle playing more towards whatever he feels is best for his scheme, which you would think that would involve George Kittle more because he's one of the best tight ends in the NFL. He's so explosive and he's so good after the catch. But for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, he becomes an afterthought at times in this offense. And I don't get it. I'm just as baffled by it as you guys.
I got some breaking news here on the Packers. So I'm just going to let you sit right there and you can listen to it as I read it here. This is from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Breaking news on the Big Show Network, powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports better, get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Jeremy Fowler saying the Packers are expected to activate Pro Bowl pass rusher Za'Darius Smith for Saturday's playoff game against the Niners. Per sources, Smith has been gearing up to be available for this game. The plan has been for him to play, barring late change, first action since week 1 for Za'Darius Smith, obviously because of the back surgery. Your thoughts on Za'Darius Smith being able to play now in this game with Preston Smith, with Rashawn Gary, and still waiting to find out about Whitney Mercilus if he'll be able to play?
Yeah, well, typically from Smith, from what I remember, he rushes off the left side of the offense.
Yep.
And that's Trent Williams over there. So Trent Williams is probably the 49ers' best player. So if there is anything that gives me hope that we can, you know, somewhat slow him down, the 49ers can somewhat slow him down, is that he's, you know, rushing against one of the better pass blockers. Now, on the other side, you talked about Rashawn Gary, and he has come on tremendously. He was a guy who wasn't a high sack, you know, production type guy at Michigan. Felt like he started off kind of slow. Maybe not. Is he an outside linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? What are you going to do? Well, this year he's been terrific, having almost double-digit sacks, a ton of pressures. I think he's like, what, second in the NFL on pressures or something like that. So I'm more worried about Rashawn Gary against, like, Tom Compton, who should, probably shouldn't be starting, but he has to start. And you hope that Tom Compton can hold up against a pass rusher like this. I'd be even more worried if the Packers said, you know what, Za'Darius Smith, just go rush on the other side now. Go rush against Tom Compton. I think that would worry me even more. But I think, you know, if you just say Za'Darius Smith is going to line up on the left side of the line and that's where Trent Williams is, I think it'd definitely be a good battle, but it doesn't worry you as much knowing, you know, you have Trent Williams over there.
No doubt about it. Eric Crocker, check him out. Locked On 49ers podcast. Plus, he does a lot of great stuff on the draft. Locked On NFL Draft. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Crocker. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.